The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
Let's listen as Lorraine LaPointe, coach, therapist, educator, speaker, and founder of Head Heart Synergy, brings together another enlightened guest to inspire and motivate us to move forward, achieve our dreams and desires, so that we experience midlife awakening.
And I'm your host, Lorraine LaPointe. Today we'll enjoy another candid conversation that reveals how to bring back a sense of balance and how to find forward focus. Today, take just a few moments to join us as we explore the possibilities and the perspectives that provide us with greater inner peace, power, passion, and purpose. Because that's what I call living at the edge of fulfillment in a midlife awakening.
Well, hello and welcome back, or welcome if it's your first time here, wherever you are in the world. So I wonder today if your situation involves having grown kids or perhaps you'll have some that may leave home soon, or perhaps you're already enjoying a quieter home life, or maybe you want to someday. However, when you look in the mirror lately, have you noticed that the reflection looking back at you now seems to have a few new wrinkles? Or with all the upheaval and changes going on in the world lately, are you wondering what comes next? Well, these days, lots of people are retiring early or perhaps have circumstances that make the future seem different from what they anticipated. You know, for instance, the belief that many of us had, you know, I had from when I was a little girl, and I was always told you must save for retirement. But, you know, that seems to have shot out the window because of the rising costs of housing, putting kids through college, you know, good morning, Sherry, transportation and food costs, and along with everything else is going up, up, up. And the world is no longer as predictable, I think, as we once thought it might be. In fact, it's been said that people's concepts of age are hopelessly out of touch with reality, because our life expectancy today, here in the West anyway, is around age 80 and continues to rise, hoping it's 100 by the time I get there. And this means that the average baby boomer will live another at least 30 years. So let's stop and think about that for a moment. The average baby boomer has many years of productivity ahead, or ahead of them, as they have behind them. And whether the midlife changes come willingly or whether your changes are being pushed along by circumstance, you know, change is inevitable. The idea that midlife marks an onset of decline. Good morning, Erica. Good to see you. You know, that sense of decline that we have to find ways to quietly mature in our aging, you know, that's commonly thought of as acceptable. However, look around. Have you noticed that common sense is in short supply these days and it can seem overrated? And instead, we can see midlife now as exciting, you know, because it's a time when we have an opportunity to re-examine our most basic assumptions. According to today's guest, it's possible to be the menopause millionaire. Oh, by the way, for those I haven't met before, I'm Lorraine LaPointe, and you can think of me as a mindset wellness specialist. I guide those who are asking the big questions like, is this all there is? And what's next for me? Because research shows that as we grow, our brain chemistry changes and we can develop new perspectives. And developing new perspectives is why I reach out through this radio and talk for TV program each week, so that you have an inspiring, safe, sacred place to explore different ways to live with greater peace, power, passion, and purpose. So each week we broadcast in all kinds of different places and through different social media platforms. And what I'd like you to do is notice if this conversation, if there's something you find especially interesting, to let us know in the chat, because whether you're here live or you come across us later on, we invite you to engage and connect with us. For every single comment, like, or share, my company, Head Heart Synergy, provides a day's worth of fresh water wherever it's needed most in the world. And we do that through b1g1.com. So you simply add your comments and your questions, and why not send an invitation to encourage friends and family to come on board and explore how to become a menopause millionaire here on the Edge of Fulfillment. And we're on the W4WN.com, which is the Women for Women Network Radio and Talk for TV. And some of you may know about the contests that we run some weeks with different prizes and gifts. And this week, we're really pleased to announce our winner from last week. Congratulations, Jennifer Rathburn. Jennifer has won a private, personalized, intuitive energy session with our guest from last week, who is Judy Jewett. This week, however, you can win an advance signed copy of the book, The Menopause Millionaire, plus a session to speak directly about finances and retirement and businesses that you can start and ways that you can earn in midlife with our author and this week's guest, Carol Hodges. So to be entered into the contest, all you do is listen throughout the broadcast. There'll be five inspirational words, and then we'll ask you to put the five words into the chat or email them to me at the end. So remember, just jot down the words as you hear them so you can put them in the chat when asked at the end of the show. And you've already heard the first word. The first one is menopause, or as I like to say, mental pause, because we're building a fun, interactive, and engaging community here of like-minded people. And if you'd like to connect with us, go ahead and join us on the Facebook group, Mindfully Moving Forward. And if you haven't joined us there yet, be sure not to miss it, because after this short break, we'll connect with today's guest, because you're listening at the Edge of Fulfillment on W4WN, the Women for Women Network Radio and Talk for TV. And we'll be right back. Yay, Jennifer.
Did you know video is the future on content? There are three good reasons why video is the future of content. Number one, videos are often more engaging than simple pictures or music alone. Number two, it's much easier to tell your story through video. Number three, because we love to watch video, they go viral much faster. Hey, notice you're still watching right now. See how well it works. Next time we can play your video here instead. Ask me how. Shine online on Talk4 TV and W4WN Radio.
Hey, are you looking for a brighter future? Wishing for greater calm, clarity, and confidence? What if you knew an inside job was the answer? Your mission: stop the inner burn, gain mental fitness so you get more out of life. Imagine in about 15 minutes a day for just 6 weeks. Come on, we'll show you how. Don't miss it. Just go to www.lorraine.gives/mfitness and join us right now. Well, welcome back. Good to see you. And let's do a little recap. We've heard the first of the five words that you'll need to put in the comments at the end of the show so that you can be eligible to win the advanced copy of the book, The Menopause Millionaire, plus an hour to speak directly with our guest. But don't add them yet, because here's the first word we had. The first word we had was menopause. And you can listen for the other words as we continue here on the Edge of Fulfillment. And Let me tell you a little about our guest. Carol Hodges is the author of the book, Menopause Millionaire. She's a financial expert dedicated to helping women approach their relationship to money with self-confidence as they enter the second half of life. Carol is well qualified because at one point she served as a CEO of an insurance solutions company and as a life strategy coach with the Yes Connection. Carol will join us today to discuss how female business owners can make better financial decisions. She shares how menopause can serve as a wake-up call for women to assess all aspects of their lives, including financial, and move forward in increased direction and clarity. And you know, this show is all about that. So welcome to The Edge of Fulfillment, Carol Hodges.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Lorraine.
Oh, it's so good to see you and to have you here. And I understand that you are super passionate about what you do. And we'd love to hear more about how you've navigated your life to write this upcoming bestseller. And so where would you like to begin your personal story?
Oh, gosh. Well, the reason I wrote this book is because for a long time, I think before menopause, and glad to see you've got the cover of my book there, which I love because it's going into the light. Mm. And that's what I find is the second half of life is an opportunity, as you mentioned, to see life differently. And what I found was different is that the first part of my life, I thought I had things all figured out. I really did. I was one of those, you know, good in school and all sorts of things until my life fell apart.
Oh,
that's what happened to me. And what I realize is that even smart women, very smart women, can make mistakes. We can do dumb things. And the more I found that I did some dumb things around money, the more I thought, okay, I really should share this. But I will admit, it took getting over my own ego. Mm. It is not easy to admit all of your mistakes and the things you may have done wrong. I think we all like to. We like to look good and think we do the right thing. But I'd say that's one thing that happened at midlife is that I began to see there's a higher purpose for my life and that I could get past my own ego and share true stories and be able to move forward. So that's my reason for writing the book.
That's great. And I was just thinking as you were saying that, I mean, I think we've all done dumb things with money. I still sometimes do dumb things with money. But money I see as energy. I see it as a thing, a tool to be used. And I love the fact that your book is called the Menopause Millionaire, because I think that sometimes, especially women, believe that in midlife, it's all over. Like, you know, you're put out to pasture, you're all done. Yeah. That's it. What you've got is what you've got. And I'm getting a sense, I haven't had a chance to read the book because it's not out yet, but I get a sense that there is a lot in the book that would suggest that we're not done yet. Is that right?
No, we're absolutely not done. One of the distinctions I like to make is that I suspect most of your readers, if they have hit midlife, have already handled $1 million.
Mm.
Between the ages of 20 and 50, you've got 30 years. And if you have handled money, whether it's your own or sometimes people have been a mom and handled the household money, but that's only $34,000 a year. So if you have averaged $34,000 a year, easily, you have handled $1 million.
Mm, interesting concept. And I agree with Erica. She's saying that's total misconception. Yeah. Yeah. So I actually hadn't thought about adding up all of the money that I had handled prior to being in menopause. But when I read the title of your book, I thought, how to handle the money after. You
Yeah.
know, that is a great way to look at it, Erica. I agree. It's very empowering to think that you've already handled $1 million.
Well, and what are you going to need if you have 30 years in retirement? Another $1 million.
You hope at least, because these days a million won't take you very far, I'd
No,
say.
and that's kind of the minimum.
Yeah.
However, one of the things is what you're looking for is flow. That's what I help people find is the flow. I'm in the United States where we have Social Security, and that will vary based upon how much you have put into the system, but it's a type of flow. Pensions are a type of flow. What we need to find is a type of flow that will enable you to get through retirement. So it's not the idea of having $1 million in your hand. It's a matter of having a flow of $1 million or much more over time.
Right. Which I think is a new, not a new concept, but it is an interesting concept to play with. So I'd love to hear more. So I think, I don't know, we've got listeners and watchers from all over the world. So I don't know what's in their countries. I know in Canada, oh, that's funny, don't cry all at once. Yeah, true, Erica. I know in Canada we have old age security, which is something that is added to the pension or the Canada pension plan, but are we talking the same thing or I don't know.
Yes, and it'll be fun to explore with people from other countries because there are many things to look at, and they're all a little different by country. So full disclosure, I know about the United States, not about the rest of the world. But what I do know is that money is not just math. Money is also the emotions around it and how you feel about money.
Yeah, as Eric has just said, undoing the dam to get the flow going. Yeah, sometimes I think that's a very common feeling, is that sense of being, behind a dam, like you're stuck, something's not flowing the way you'd like it. And is that the type of thing that you help women and men, I'm assuming,
Yeah.
with when they reach a certain point in their life?
Yes, it's looking at your resources. I often work with people to do a different kind of a net worth statement that includes not only your typical net worth, which is adding up your assets and subtracting your liabilities, and that's your net worth. But there are more assets when you look toward retirement. You may want to consider some people will have an inheritance. You'll want to look at that. You'll want to look at also your particular skills, because the skills and the attitudes that you bring into the last half of your life, that can also be part of what your flow is. So many people, they may find ways to get paid for their skills. And so I look at the whole picture because we're not just, it would be nice if at age 65 or age 70, we all just had it all figured out and retired. But I will tell you, the numbers of people in their 60s and 70s who are still working is going up on a regular basis.
I
I believe
don't,
it was
yeah.
single digits. It's up into the high teens or maybe higher for people in their 70s who are still working.
Well, and I was talking to a client recently who's almost 80, and she's still working. And the reason she's still working is not necessarily just financial. She loves it. She said, I can't imagine what I would do all day if I didn't have a staff to look after and a place to run and people to serve and to be a contributing member of her particular society and world. And I think that's part of it too, is that this whole, I mean, when I grew up, that was the thought, you know, you go to work for 30 years and then you retire. And then I don't know what the retirement was supposed to be, sit on a cloud, play a harp, or is that after you die? you know, but it certainly is not the truth of what happened. And I saw just now when Erica mentioned, I think it was Erica anyway, mentioned being blocked. So do you have some sort of way to help people unblock or to see their finances in a way that helps them move forward?
Yes. When I work with people, I like to find out, first of all, just finding out about them, but looking at everything from personality styles, obviously your values mean a lot, but finding that thing that lights you up, because that is what you want to be doing. For me, this is going back to my very beginnings. I was an English major and I'm a trained coach. I also spent 25 years doing musical theater.
Oh, that is so cool. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, no, I did it because I loved it. And all of a sudden I'm having the opportunity. Of course, I created the opportunity with my book and my background to say, this is what I love to do. This is the fulfillment. And I think that's the magic thing. You find resilience in life when you find what really fulfills you. And that's for me. For someone else, it may be being with your grandchildren, redecorating your house. Whatever is your fulfillment is what you really need to find, because money doesn't mean anything unless you're doing what lights you up.
So, I love that, partly because the show is called Edge of Fulfillment. And because you mentioned the word resilience, and the word resilience is our second word of today. So we had menopause and now we've had resilience. And really that is what it's all about. What I'm always struck by is when I read that lottery winners typically are back in the same situation after a couple of years, because it doesn't matter what size of lottery they win, because their mindset is not prepared for that influx of money. And they have a certain attitude about money and finding it. Yes, Erica. So what can you tell us, Carol, about the attitude towards money and that can help small business owners be successful?
Well, there are many, but first, connecting to the feeling that this is something important for you to do, that you really want to do. There has to be motivation beyond the money. And then you need to look at your own attitudes toward money. I have seen people start businesses with, well, I'll give this a shot. I don't know if this will work, but let me do this because nothing's worked. Not a good attitude to start.
I was going to say 12 to 15 hours a day later.
Yeah. And the time and the effort you put in only means something if it's personally meaningful to you. I have another little test. One of my chapters is about what happens if you would like to start a business. And I suggest that you look for outside funding for your business.
Oh.
The reason for that is that the more people you talk to, the more ideas you get toward what needs to be there in your business. Often the loner attitude of let me do this by myself, I will self-fund it, and this will work. I believe you would be best served to get some outside information from specialists. In the United States, we do have groups that will assist you with that. And I think around the world, there are more groups that will help startups. So I suggest that. One little warning. I have often seen people raid their retirement account to start a business. I strongly suggest you do not do that. If you can borrow from the account and pay it back, that's a possibility.
But what would be the difference in terms of, just for our listeners and our watchers? So what you're saying is if you borrow the money from yourself, that's a better option than actually taking the money out.
Well, this is a pension fund, and taxes could be different in other countries, but in the United States, if you put your money aside in a 401k, so it's been tax deductible, then I decide I'm going to take it out. I'm age 50 and I think I'm going to start my business. If I take it out, two things will happen. I will have a 10% penalty on that money. So if I take out $20,000, $2,000 leaves right away, and then I will pay taxes on that money. So in the end, maybe I'll get $15,000 if I thought I would take out $20,000. And I've lost that money forever. That's money that I put in and it grew, but it's gone forever. If I borrow it, I have a limited amount of time, 5 years to pay it back. But if I borrow it, I can pay it back. And then, of course, I have in my mind, I borrowed it. And
there it is.
I need to pay it back.
Yeah, there's a real driving force that if you borrow it, you've got to repay it, as opposed to if you take it out and you spend it.
Correct.
I hear the difference in my mind anyway.
Yeah.
The difference in value of those two uses of the money.
Yes.
Interesting. Yes. And great concept. Yeah, I agree, Erica. And Rachel had a really interesting comment just now. She said, utilizing resources is actually more beneficial than some realize. Yes.
Yes.
And I think that there are a lot more resources available than people realize. I know when I started the business, I did not realize that there were government grants. There were government, that I actually received money in order to start the business. And what was awesome about that is that it paid for some signage and cards and some online, today everything's virtual. So some of the online pieces, because it is expensive to run a business.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not all like you earn $1,000, keep $1,000. But on the other hand, as you've said, it depends on if that business is fulfilling or not, if you're passionate about it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is fascinating stuff. So I'm wondering, I heard you use a term that we perhaps can talk about a little bit. And you said there was a term called profound sufficiency. Are you willing to talk about that?
Yes. Yes. One of the things as you look toward retirement is people are often asked in the financial industry, how much do you want to have set aside for retirement? That is so personal because people are all over the place. But one of the things you find is you get to a point of profound sufficiency, which is a term that Lynn Twist used in the classic A Soul of Money. And that is enough money that you can live well, and you have what you need to live well.
So that's the sufficient, right? And by the way, profound sufficiency is another one of our terms for today. Yes. I know it's two words, but we're counting it as one.
Yeah. But it's interesting because in earlier in life, I believe we go through a period where we're building. I mean, all of us. When we started out, we mostly had to save and buy the car and pay the rent. And maybe then you save to buy a house. And then, of course, you have to fill all the house with all the things in it. You have to fill the kitchen and the furniture. You're building. If you have children, then you're sending them to college. You're in the constant state of growing and building. When you begin to go toward retirement, suddenly you're in a different place. You have already built around you. You have your home. You have everything you need in your house. It becomes a time where maybe we're more replacing things or getting better and newer or finding new things to buy. But you also can get to the point, I believe, later in life where you can say, I have enough. I'm in a place now where I won't let my husband buy one more utensil for my kitchen because it jams the drawer. I have exactly what I want in my kitchen drawer. If something breaks, I can replace it. But I have everything I need to do all my cooking. So that's one way to look at life is saying, how do I get to that point? There's enough for me to live well, because that's that little balance point that is wonderful to be at. And if you have enough in retirement for profound sufficiency, you are good to go.
Well, and I agree with you, that point will be very different for different folks. And also, I had this conversation recently this week about collections. And there, when I was growing up, everybody had collections of everything. And there was this sense that collections would be worth something someday. And the other day I was talking to somebody about, there was a bowl that my mother had invested in. And this bowl came with, you know, its little booklet and everything else. And she said to me, oh, this is going to be worth something someday. Well, then she passed away about, you know, 15 years ago. And eventually I got into looking at how much this bowl was worth, $14.99. because it used to be something that was uncommon. It was hard to get, and those kinds of things. So when I think of sufficiency, profound sufficiency, sometimes we anticipate our needs are insufficient, but I mean, what more do we, how many more bowls do we really need? And what makes you think that, you know, investing in this one is going to be, you know, that's one of those dumb things that you do with money. But it was done for a good reason, and I honor the intention of it. But we have this sense, I think, that some of us grew up with, that we have to keep collecting, that we need more stuff.
I have my mother's collection of newly minted coins that she thought would be worth something. They are still in my safe deposit box. And they've, you know, a dollar might be worth $1.20 now on those coins. And I have a collection of Waterford crystal. Well, I love it. For me, it's totally out of style. And it costs a lot to buy it new. But if anybody out there likes Waterford crystal, go on eBay. You can buy it quite inexpensively and enjoy it.
It's like the Dalton figurines. I mean, I see people, and my own in-laws used to have curio cabinets full of Dalton figurines, with the idea that they would escalate in value and that you'd pass them down to the, next generation. And the truth is, I don't want them. I don't have room for a curio cabinet full of Dalton figurines. And, these days they aren't like, I mean, yes, they're all numbered and all of that. And I know that there are some listeners who are going to go, I love my Dalton. And that's wonderful. If you love it, that's great. That's fantastic. Then keep it and enjoy it and be fulfilled by it. But that profound sufficiency is like, how much is enough? How much do we need?
Yes. And I think it's one thing I find as I get older, I like things simpler than I did when I was younger.
Well, that
But
leads to freedom, right? Yeah, but simple freedom. And actually, that's our fourth word today is freedom. So we've had four, if I'll just mention them. Menopause, resilience, profound sufficiency. I know that's two words. And freedom. And so we're just waiting for the fifth word.
yes.
Yeah. So
No.
at this point in the show, I often pull an oracle card to see what comes out for us. Are you interested in doing that with me?
I love that.
All right. So I have my trusty cards, and all I'm going to do is shuffle them, and you just say when, and we will see what card pops out.
When?
Oh. Ooh, I love this one. I don't know if I'll pull it closer. Spirit of gratitude is the card. Spirit of gratitude. It's exactly what we were just talking about. So, what it's, and usually your children don't care for it either. You're absolutely right, Eric. It's amazing how how we think our kids are going to love the th same things that we do. Not always true. So, spirit of gratitude, a power greater than us acts on our behalf and is activated through us, suffusing our hearts and minds with a faith that is life-affirming, loving, and compassionate. We engage in humility, knowing we are a co-creative partnership and have so much to be grateful for. And I agree, I think most of us have so much to be grateful for. Expressing gratitude and asking how to be of service becomes the most powerful, prospering position of all. When you focus attention on appreciation for even the smallest aspects of life, what you've already experienced, it's almost like waving a magic wand. You become magnetic for miracles. When you are grateful and you ask to be a channel for divine purpose, you gain fulfillment. The power of source is within you. Now is the time to awaken to it.
Oh, that lights me up. That is, I have a little exercise that I have done. I encourage everybody to do this, which is to look around your house. And what I was doing was just an exercise in what I really wanted in life. And I looked around and I said, if I doubled my income, if I had double the money coming in, what would I want to have stay exactly the same? Because it's just perfect the way it is. And I looked around and I like to grow orchids. They grow very well where I am. And I have orchids in my kitchen window. And I thought, that's one thing. I would still want the orchids in my kitchen window exactly the way I have them now. I have white dishes with shells around them that I love. And I thought, I would like to continue eating on my white dishes with shells. I looked around and I've in a place with a lot of palm trees, and I love palm trees. But I began to look at everything in my life and say, what would I want exactly as it is now? No matter how much money I had. And it's really enlightening because that leads you to that profound sufficiency because you're saying, I am so grateful for what I have now. And if you expand that to yourself, to say, isn't that amazing? Even the challenges I have had in life bring me to where I am. And I have unique skills. I can be grateful for them. I can be grateful for this life adventure that I have, because Spirit provided me with all of these things around me and the people in my life. That kind of gratitude leads you to an appreciation of what you have. And that's, I would say, that's the ground for being able to grow and be fully fulfilled in life.
I love that, because if you say that, you know, okay, I'm going to double my income or whatever number you want to put on it, 10 times my income, would I still want to keep this, like keep things the way they are? And this is what I'm hearing, what of these things do I want to keep the way they are? Because that's really illuminating about what you might want to change. Like, yeah. As we were doing this, I suddenly thought, would I want to keep my house, like the furniture, the way it is? I might want to change that, which suggests that it might be time to look at manifesting something new and different. Or, yeah. You know, I can think of some things that I actually might want to get rid of. If I had, you know, double my income, triple my income, there are things I might actually want to get rid of.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of stuff under my bathroom cupboard. Why do I keep that?
I must add another important thing is I want to keep my husband.
Oh, I'm sure he's happy about yes. hearing that.
And he's a second husband. But that's another thing that can change in life is relationships.
Oh yes. And Sherry mentioned that she loves that too. I think it's the way we navigate, like we navigate from one time in our life to another. And, yeah. And as we navigate the challenges that come up too, and actually that word navigate is our fifth word. So I just want to make sure our listeners and viewers put that in. This would be a great time. You've had all five words. Now you can go ahead and put them in the chat. And for those who are tuning in a little bit later, I'm going to give them to you anyway. They are, we just had the word navigate, and then we had menopause, and then we had, I'm just trying to recall, resilience, found sufficiency, and freedom. So there they are. But yeah, so say more about what you were just saying about relationships.
Yeah, it's all part of what I call life change navigation, because like a boat sailing, if any of you have ever sailed, you haven't got a motor, you don't just go straight that direction. You put up your sails and you go back and forth. And life is like that. You may have an idea where you're going, and then life happens and you have to shift. So we all navigate life, and relationships is one of them. There's an increasing number of divorces at around age 50. It's very interesting. I think for logical reasons, often when you have children, you become parents. And that is your main role, and you relate to each other as mom and dad. And suddenly they get to be adults and they leave. And it's time to reassess. Now, that doesn't mean divorce, but and I have a whole section on dating after midlife, but I also say that dating at midlife is not as much fun as sitcoms make it seem.
Well, for many of us, and I work very closely with a dating and relationship coach, and that is one of the areas that we focus on, is for many of us, dating is something that we haven't done since we were in grade nine. So, and I can do a whole conversation and show about why it is that we see people in our, suddenly, as you said, mom and dad, you've been mom and dad, and you suddenly look at the person, you go, who are you? And other than the job of being mom or dad, why are you here?
Correct. Things
You know?
change. But
So
I'd love to add that one of the things about dating, and I dated for 15 years. I was single. I had a divorce right before I turned 50. And it was time I am so grateful for, because that was the time I learned about me. Because that's the one thing, I was the mom, and I had to relearn who I was before I really could get into another great relationship. I don't think it has to take that long. I'm just saying, for me, it did. I would have been horrified if somebody told me in advance that that's what I would be facing. I was always hopeful,
Yeah,
but
that's awesome. But and
I
you said
learned something
you said
every
there's a chapter in your book on the Menopause Millionaire on that talks a little bit about dating.
Yes, it does.
And I want at this point for our listeners and watchers to know how to get a hold of you, because we only have a few moments left.
Sure.
So this topic of dating and relationships after 50, I mean, we could go on for hours. So I'd love to do another show, another talk about that with you at some point, Carol. But this is we have the website carolhodges.com, and Carol with an E,
Yeah,
correct?
that's the only thing you won't get there if there's no E.
Ah.
CarolHodges.com with an E on Carol.
Awesome. And then for your email, to connect with you by email,
Yes.
Carol with an E at menopause, well, it's at menopausemillionaire.com, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So happy to visit. There's an opportunity. My book comes out February 1st. I will have some advanced copies before that. But please sign up so I can let you know as soon as it's out, as soon as it's available.
Awesome. Well, and as Erica said, it's so much fun, and it all in the perspective as you go through life, isn't it? I mean, that's that our perspective is everything, and I love the fact that you've written this book, and I can't wait to be one of the first to read it. And there's the cover again. Thanks, Roxy, for putting that up. And I want to remind our viewers and listeners that you can gather with like-minded people in our Facebook group called Mindfully Moving Forward. Remember to drop the five inspirational words that you heard throughout the show in the chat, or you can email them to me at support@headheartsynergy.com. Please put the word contest in the subject line, because I get a lot of email and that makes it easier to find. And I want to say thank you so much, Carol, for being here today.
Lauren, it's been delightful. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I am your host, Lorraine Lapointe of Head Heart Synergy, reminding you that here on Edge of Fulfillment, there's always a choice. You can stay on the edge and always get what you've already got, or you can become just a little bit courageous and do a few of the things we've talked today on the show about, and move beyond the edge to get what you really want. And we'll see you next week.